The Final Play Podcast welcomes you to the following presentation of the NFL. We're going upbeat for this season preview.
Hello, everybody.
More of a guitar solo on that one rather than a drum beat.
Little bit. This is the Final Play Podcast. Still doing our NFL preview. This one will be for the NFC. Guess we'll get straight into it because that firstly would be the NFC East. And in no particular order, but alphabetical, first team will be the Dallas Cowboys.
How about it?
Great defensive team. Did very, very well last year. Obviously, they didn't win the division last year, but they had a very, very good record last year. As I mentioned in the previous pod, losing Kellen Moore to me was kind of a big loss, at least on the offensive side, because McCarthy is going to be the offensive play caller now. So I don't know how that's going to work, but we'll see what happens there.
It'll be very interesting. Look, there's still a Dan Quinn there, so you know that he won't have to worry about the defensive side of the ball. Like, he can just focus on offense and hopefully be a little bit better with clock management this year.
And their defense is just a juggernaut of a team. It's top three defense easily, and a sneaky good signing. In a trade for a fifth round pick and Stephon Gilmore from the Colts.
Oh yeah,
that's kind of under the radar. Good pickup for us.
Their secondary is very good.
Oh, secondary, their front line is, you know, on the back of Micah Parsons. Their defense is good. As always, it's going to be, at least for me, on the back of and Brandon Cooks, I should say as well, who they acquired from the Texans. So. It's going to be on the back of Dak, and if he can stop throwing intercepts, personally.
Yeah, well, what did he play? He played 14 games last year and still led the league in interceptions. So, definitely needs to cut down on that. I thought a rather shocking move to me was to just totally and utterly waive Ezekiel Elliott. Just see you later. No more. Bye bye. We don't want you anymore. Like, the Patriots picked him up. He's going to be a backup there. He sat on the free agent list for a long time before anybody picked him up.
What you sort of mentioned in the when you brought up Dalvin Cook, and when you brought up Jonathan Taylor actually as well. But running backs seem to be just a throwaway position, at least in the owners / GM's eyes. So they both sat on the waiver. But look, at least for us, we've got a nice player who played very well last year in Tony Pollard, who had to end up signing a non-exclusive franchise tag. So
That's right.
He should be still good. Like, he's like, if you're into NFL fantasy, he seems to be the most talked about, hyped running back for NFL fantasy, at least this year. Because what he did last year, then add, you know, another 50 more touches. So we'll see what happens. But look, I think, I'll leave my decision who I think is going to win this division at the end, but I think we'll make the playoffs, personally.
Yeah, look, I think it'll probably be... I think the same few candidates as it was last year. Like, you know, as we said previously, the NFC has good upper echelon, but it's not as many upper echelon teams as what the AFC does. I think this division could be, you know, if you show out this year, you could quite easily be in the Super Bowl to get through this conference. Not so much your division, but to pump through this conference, I think it could be.
You're not leaning any which way, are you? In who you're going to pick? But I'll mention them soon.
No.
The next team will be the New York Giants.
Just for clarification, it is not the team that we're talking about now.
Well, mate, as great as they did last year, and I like Brian Daboll, they surprised a lot of people on where they were last year. I like Brian Daboll. I just don't think that's going to be repeated this year, personally.
I don't think so. They've hitched their wagon to Daniel Jones now. They're
4 years, $160 million he got.
They're stuck with him.
I don't think we've actually talked about this, but so obviously they had to do one of the two for both of these guys. One of them had to sign a franchise tag, and one of them had to sign a deal because they both going to get the deal they wanted. So that's sort of how it ended up. Which way would have you gone? Would you have gone the re-signing of Daniel and the franchise of Barkley, or vice versa?
I would have went the other way around. I probably would have went on it, whether it's the franchise of Daniel Jones and then give Saquon, or whether it's 2 years, 3 years, it's like we said, running backs are super disposable at the moment. But I think he had a great rookie season, and he had a great year last year. Is he on the comeback trail? Can he shed those injuries? Last year it looked like he proved it. So I would have done things in reverse, and I would have said to Daniel Jones, show me again. And look, he cut down on the turnovers. That's great. But in a season of 17 games, he only threw 15 touchdowns, 16 touchdowns, something like that. So that's not even one per game.
Yeah.
That number needs to double.
I don't see it personally.
I can't see it happening.
They didn't do much. They re-signed a lot of key players, but the only real big signing, at least for me, was Darren Waller from the Raiders. Who,
I think that's a big pickup, and he'll be the focal point in their pass game.
Yeah, well, he's going to have to be, because there's no wide
receiver. He'll have to be. Well, that's it. They've got
on the other side.
Yeah, well, they've got a very unhealthy wide receiving core again. So they are going to rely on Darren Waller something fierce this year. So he'll want to shed those. Was it hamstring? I think he had hamstring complaints most of last year with the Raiders. So he'll have want to shed those, because he's going to be seeing a hell of a lot of ball from Daniel Jones, I think.
Next team is the Philadelphia Eagles, last year's Super Bowl runners up. They didn't have to do much, but sort of keep, run it back kind of thing. They kept the squad together, and for the most part, they kind of really did, to be honest, which is really, really good.
I don't know whether you want to call it upgrade or a bit of a shuffle around in the running back stocks. They picked up Rashad Penny from the Seahawks, and they picked up DeAndre Swift, which I think is massive, but lost Miles Sanders to Carolina. So I think that's...
Yeah, the DeAndre Swift one was interesting, I thought. And we'll talk about the line when we get to him. I didn't expect him to sort of be up and available. And that was the last place I thought he was going to go, even when they had Penny. But shows you why sort of Penny has dropped. Thought they, Jalen Hurts had a very good season last year. They have a very good... wide receiver core in Devontae Smith and AJ Brown. They have, again, speaking of defense, their top three defensive side. The defensive side is just littered with stars everywhere. They got Slay at the back. They've got, god damn, Gastro. they've got players
Star-studded lineup.
They got Bulldogs lineup everywhere. Georgia Bulldogs.
The window for the Eagles is right now, before they have to pay Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, that's right, because they re-signed Darius Slay. They re-signed James Bradbury. They all weren't cheap deals. They re-signed Fletcher Cox. Nope. They re-signed Jason Kelce. These weren't all small deals. So
nope.
that they have to put up a shout, but they got no they have, you know, no option. But still think they're a great side. Still think they're one of the top three sides in the NFC personally. So the next side is the Washington Commanders, or the final side in this division. I mean, I thought, is it the biggest move for them in the offseason is getting a new owner? Probably.
it's definitely a positive. Know, they, it's definitely a positive.
It's just, he, you know, look, for people that don't know, Dan Snyder wasn't a very well-liked owner towards the end. He did a lot of shady things.
Towards the end, I don't think he was a very, very liked owner his whole stint there at Washington.
No, well, that's true. The stadium was falling apart. Apparently, there's sewage everywhere. But to show you the strength on how big NFL still is in the water sport.
There was sewage outside the stadium and sewage inside the stadium on the field.
But to show, but you know, for all that, you know, he could have, he just, you know, there's only 32 owners and there's only 32 chances of owning an NFL squad. They still got this side for seven, was able to sell the side for $7 billion. It just shows you how big the NFL is to me. And one of the owners is, you know, our boy Magic Johnson. So he seems to have his hand everywhere. He's got a slice of this. He's got a slice in the Dodgers.
Oh, man, he's got a slice in a whole lot of pies.
Oh, he's smart. He's very smart with business. If it helps him, and he's a good face, it's going to help him, help them sort of long term.
That's probably more what it's worth is just the face to the organization, really. Kind of like A-Rod with his minority stake in the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yeah, that's right. I think just on this, I think the Commanders probably don't have to do much this season because they haven't really had to do anything. They've kept Sam Howell as their quarterback one. I think they'll just end up, we'll wait and see what happens with them. And as owners usually do, they'll take probably a swing, but I just don't see it happening this year. I think they'll take a swing next year.
You know, yeah, I think so. Getting Chase Young. I think getting Chase Young back from that injury last year, I think that'll help them a whole lot out on the defensive side of the ball. They're taking... So that's just how that's running at the moment. Sam Howell, they're hitching the horse and cart to him. So let's see how they go. Look, they've still got. I think they can still be a fairly competent offense. It'll be how they react on the defensive side. I think it'll be, and yeah, and like we've talked about, Eric Bieniemy being there. Apparently he's been pretty intense at training and at training camp and OTAs and everything this year. I think it was a little bit jarring for some of the younger guys on that squad to sort of see Eric Bieniemy's intensity. It's been talked about over the off season. So hopefully that will get them prepared to get some wins this year and not be at the bottom of the division.
I think Bieniemy could probably take over this head coaching role from Rivera before the end of the year.
Riverboat Ron.
I don't be shocked that they'll be one of those teams next year that might give up a lot and move up in the draft next year for one of those two big quarterbacks. It wouldn't shock me if they, you know, owners usually like to take a big swing. And usually a big swing is what they need as a quarterback. So don't be
unless they get good play out of Sam Howell. I don't know.
It's possible. I just think their defensive side's very good. I think and I'm a big McLaurin fan and a Jahan Dotson fan as well. I just think quarterback's probably where they are slightly down and possibly running back, but it's a wait and see on Brian Robinson. So
yeah, and they've still got Antonio Gibson there too. So Look, that they've got some safety valves for Sam Howell to be able to help them out offensively. So I think that'll be as far as they can go. I think they'll probably be, you know, scratching and clawing with the Giants to be at the bottom of this division. But I think the Eagles get this division wrapped up pretty easily, I think. Well, not so much easily. Like, you know, it'll be the same as last year. It'll be the top two will be the Cowboys and the Eagles. But yeah, so I still see the Eagles taking this division out.
No, and I picked the Eagles as well. Money wise, they're $1.88 favorites. So I'm not gonna lie, but I can't hide that. Money wise, obviously heart wise, I'm going Cowboys, but money wise, so head wise,
that's right.
Should have said head wise. I went Eagles, but those two teams will be one of the top three teams in this conference personally. So
yeah.
We'll move on to the NFC North, and that would be the Chicago Bears, the first team alphabetically. Look, their biggest things that they were doing, it wasn't so much that they did have to look. They had $100 million to spend.
They had a whole lot of cap space.
Really, really spending on the defensive side was good because they got TJ Edwards and Tremaine Edwards from the Bills. They were sort of big time signings and a couple of edge players. They did a big swing, and once they knew they had the number one pick, and realistically didn't need it because number one generally means quarterback, and they're pretty riding high on Justin Fields.
Does so these days.
They end up trading that away to the Panthers to get the number nine pick and one DJ Moore. So who I've always been a personal fan of. I know a lot of people aren't, which is just, it's not weird. I just always sort of is interesting to me. But look, they're an interesting team because I don't know what they do or where they go. I don't know how they go in this division.
I honestly think this is the toughest division to pick. I don't know where to go. Where's the proven commodity?
Well,
the only proven commodity is the Vikings. But yeah, this is the Bears. Surely they can't be any worse than what they were last year.
They can't be any worse, but they're not going to win this division. I agree. I think it's a three-headed race in this division personally.
I think the Chicago
Bears is not one of them. Well, I guess it's wait and see because the next team is, one of the most hyped teams, not only in the NFC, but just seems to be in the NFL, and that's the Detroit Lions. Did something interesting.
Since when have we ever said that in a lifetime?
They played well last year. Jared Goff had probably one of his best seasons he's ever had in the NFL, which was really, really good.
Yeah, that's right, considering he made a Super Bowl with the Rams.
Head scratching to say the least, but they signed David Montgomery to a 3-year, $18 million deal, which is okay, $6 million. But then they moved up in the draft and took our running back Jahmyr Gibbs at number 12. So I was kind of, shocked. I thought you've moved on from Swift. Okay, you signed Montgomery, on $6 million. Who's probably going to be a backup to Jahmyr Gibbs eventually. So,
yeah, right. Well, Gibbs is going to be, he's going to be straight up. He'll be a starter. Gibbs will be a starter.
I think so. I think it depends how much he's in. But this, that Gibbs, I've just watched a little bit of footage of him in the last few weeks, and he was a beast, Alabama. Speaking of, there's so many tank names in this draft this year. He's a tank, even though his name's not.
He is a tank.
He is a tank. So, I unfortunately have bought into the hype. I think they have a huge chance of winning this. Sorry, I really do.
We'll know after the first game.
We can't say the first game of the Chiefs, but we'll know the first four games. Where this division's at, because these next two sides, could go sort of either way. I mean, this next side, the Green Bay Packers, did nothing in terms of the free agency market, and didn't really had to, because their biggest move was moving on from Aaron Rodgers and handing the reins over to Jordan Love. So that is, it's hard because that's a wait and see for me. I will wait and see what happens with Jordan Love. How do you think he'll go? How do you think he'll go?
I mean, he sat behind Aaron Rodgers the last 2 years now, so, and it's been a very contentious talking point of, you know, what, yeah, the very early stepping stones of Aaron Rodgers being shown the door, so to speak. I don't know. He had a really good college career. It was a very strange pick why the Packers picked him, not early, but, mid in that first round a couple of years ago. When you know you've got Aaron Rodgers, then he's pretty much no chance of starting unless Rodgers gets hurt. So I will reserve all judgment on the Packers until maybe the first, 4 to 6 weeks, see where the offense is at. Obviously Christian Watson is going to be massive for them. Still got Aaron Jones there, so they can still have a competent offense. It'll be protection of Jordan Love. Him being now anointed the starting role and how he handles that.
Yeah, I agree. They've got a great offensive line, and that's why Aaron Rodgers was so good for so long. They've always had a very good offensive line. Bakhtiari's phenomenal left tackle there. So it'll be a wait and see. I totally agree with you. The last team in this division is, I think, the way you're leaning, and that's the Minnesota Vikings. It's
the only logical choice for me for the division winner, but... Yeah, they had so many close wins last year. I think that sort of distorted their win total. Yeah,
that's right.
I think just about all. You know, I think more than half their wins were by a touchdown or less.
Yes, that so they won 13 games. The 13 they won last year, or 11? Was 11 or 13
games?
So at 8 of them were less than 10. So that was for me, because their defense still isn't great for me. They did get Marcus Davenport on a 1 year $13 million contract, and Byron Murphy as well, from the Dolphins. But I their defense still scares me in this division. And that's sort of where I'm at. Like, offensively,
offensively they'll be fine. Jefferson. Again,
they picked up Jordan Addison on the draft. So
good,
that's
rookie.
That's good. Another wide receiver too.
Yeah,
good rookie
to add with Jefferson. I think they could be quite the dynamic duo, so to speak, along the same lines of Waddle and Tyreek Hill. Like, you're going to be focusing so much on Justin Jefferson. Guys like TJ Hockenson, who signed an extension there. I think he got $68.5 million. He could see a lot more open targets. Jordan Addison, I think he's going to be a contributor straight away, and that's going to be scary, because if they start getting him into the game, then they've got to start going single coverage on Justin Jefferson, and then he is going to cook you 99 times out of 100. So that's their offense, I think, could be quite potent.
So you're going for the Vikings to win this division?
Look, this was a tough one. I've just gone, I don't know, a more proven commodity out of the bad options in this division, because I'm telling you, man, don't expect expectations on the Detroit Lions. Just don't do it to yourself.
Well, I've done it to myself at $2.43, so I've done
it's only
it to
gonna
myself.
End in heartache.
Oh, we'll see. We'll see.
It's really only going to end in heartache.
The next division is
They haven't won a playoff game in like 53 years. 53 years.
I didn't say. Hold up. I didn't say they would go make noise in the playoffs. I said they would make the playoffs.
No, I know. But to make the playoffs, you got to play good. You've either got to win the division or sneak into a wild card spot. It's just it's they've been a historically awful franchise for half a century.
That's right. So are the Browns.
People
so
still
just...
sign up for Ford Field. Apparently, as well, like or Ford Field. It's impossible to get tickets this year. Impossible. Sold out for all eight games.
So there's huge hype then.
Oh,
wow.
Man, there is
that's
massive hype around the Detroit Lions. And Detroit is feeding off that big time. They are so desperate for a winner there and are desperate for a winner in that stadium.
That's a good thing. The Pistons are being poor. The Red Wings. Yeah, like they really need a winner in Michigan.
That's right. The Red Wings.
I don't know.
The most successful franchise there. Like the Detroit Tigers have been awful for 15 years. You know, the Pistons have been rotten for a decade. You know that they've got them a couple of championships, but yeah, the Red Wings is been money in that city, and they're so desperate for a football winner, because that's what most cities that have a football team in them, that's always going to be their juggernaut. And if you've got a winning football team in your city, you've got a happy city.
And the hype there, the hype's enough. I mean, look,
people are believing
about them last year. Well,
yeah, that's right.
Look at the NFL, themselves, like. People were whinging about in the last couple of years about always them playing in a Thanksgiving game. They're getting the very first opening game this year against the Chiefs. So that shows
they're
you how much the NFL's buying into it as well. So
yeah, they're banking on them.
Yeah,
so.
I'm buying into it.
Beware,
I love
everybody. Just beware. I'll just say it right now.
I love Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think he's a very good player. I think he I don't know if you've seen it. Every game that he goes to, he carries his book with every wide receiver that was drafted before him. And he's
He's definitely got that proverbial chip on the shoulder.
So the next division is your division, the NFC South. And we'll start alphabetically at the Atlanta Falcons. Oof,
a very, very stinky AFC South, NFC South.
The Falcons did something peculiar because I liked Tyler Allgeier last year, their running back. And, you know, Cordarrelle Patterson got the points when they needed. But then just decided to go and draft the best running back on the best running back apparently since Saquon Barkley that was on the board. And they drafted Bijan Robinson at the eighth pick. Just shows you Arthur Smith is all about that run game and not about the throwing the ball. Because I don't remember. Do you remember talking about Kyle Pitts or Drake London last year at all?
Nope.
It's just so weird. Really young, great core team. But
Kyle Pitts was one of the best tight ends that the college game had seen in 5-6 years. Like he was just an prospect, and he did. Literally nothing last year. Drake, the same thing with Drake London. Like you just did not hear those names a whole lot, you know, in national talk. It was just very bizarre. And now they've sort of moved on from Mariota. Desmond Ridder is now the starter there. So they're going the youth movement.
Yeah, which is fine. That's great. I'm not against that. They're such a weird side because they can pull these wins out of nowhere. And they nearly won this division last year, funnily enough. So it's just to show you how bad this division is, like you said. So I think they're, to me, a wait and see because they've got very defensive side. And they picked up Calais Campbell from the Ravens and Jeff Okuda from the Lions. So their defensive side's pretty stacked.
They'll be a tough out.
Jesse Bates.
That'll be a tough out.
So they're a wait and see. I don't know if I trust Desmond Ridder. So that's my feeling there. The next team is the Carolina Panthers. Look, obviously they had the number one draft pick. They went in all in, and they've decided to go behind the guy that is the same height as me at 1.78 meters, I should say. It's Bryce Young.
Centimeters, Jesus.
Weighs a little bit more than me, but he's definitely the same height as me. So,
not a lefty.
He
though.
Is. Well, this is true. He is, but look, by all accounts, the comp for him, and I'm only saying this because of his progressions. He's a fast processor, and it is a high thing. The comp for him at the start is Drew Brees. I'm not saying he's going to be Drew Brees, but that's the comp. Which makes sense. Look, I get that.
No, yeah, that's right.
Accuracy
will be,
going to be Drew Brees?
Where it tells.
No. Drew Brees? No, I don't think so. But and Drew Brees had a bit more stockiness to him too. So that's the other thing with this guy's 90 kilos. So
That's right. He's very slight of build, and I think that was the concern of him coming out of college. Getting him to Carolina, I guess, sort of either getting him on a very large chicken diet or just hitting the roids. So whatever you got to do to start putting on the bulk, as if he's going to take some hits, he's going to need some muscle. So he needs to put on a bit of bulk. I think that will help him a lot. Look, he's got some guys to throw to. They picked up Adam Thielen, to a lesser extent, Laviska Shenault. So they got Miles Sanders there. They got them from Philadelphia. So I think it's a work in progress. He'll start week one, and it'll be what sort of system Frank Reich can to put in there since he's there now. Matt Rule's gone. I don't know. I think they'll be a tough out, and I think Bryce Young will be able to show some flashes of brilliance, but could possibly still be a bottom feeder in this division.
I don't see them getting 5 wins personally. That's where I have it.
No, probably not.
So I don't see it. And that's fine. Like they're rebuilding. That's what happens when you get a brand new quarterback. You get another high draft pick, and then you shore up other areas. So
it's the same as the Colts. It's a high draft pick quarterback and a brand new coach.
Yep. Keep your first rounders and just keep shoring up. Like that's what every other team did. Like that's what the Bengals did. A lot of players did. If you get the quarterback you like and it seems to work. And they're good enough, have them on that rookie deal so you can spend it elsewhere. Right. That is the best thing. That is the best thing. I shouldn't say that because then the next team went the other way, and that's your team, the New Orleans Saints. They didn't decide to. They spent a lot of money on a quarterback.
That's right. Yeah. you can't really say, a proven commodity in Derek Carr, but they've definitely had over the last few years some very subpar quarterback play since Drew Brees has retired. Look, I think if you can get solid play out of Derek Carr, Alvin Kamara's coming back in 3 games. He's got that suspension by the league, so they've signed Jamal Williams from the Lions as a bit of an insurance policy. They picked up in the draft that Kendre Miller, who's a pretty good running back to sort of pick up some of the slack there as well. Chris Olave hopefully will go from strength to strength, robbed of Offensive Rookie of the Year last year, in my opinion.
I said the same thing. I thought of that as well. It's funny this for your team, right? I don't know why they're favorites to win this division. I just don't know why they were so outside at $2.31. I think they win this division easily because I think they still have a very skilled side. They across the board, they have a very skilled side.
Kamara
has
his
issues. He'll be back in after week three, but they have Jamal Williams there as a backup.
I don't see Ching.
You know, not that they're going to make noise in that this division. In this conference, but I don't see a chink of them losing this division at all. Personally,
It's their division. It's their division to lose. I think it could be. I don't think they'll run away with the division, but yeah, no. competent quarterback play from Derek Carr. All thoughts and prayers and all positive energy going towards Michael Thomas's ankle. He stays healthy. Holy shit! Michael Thomas and Chris Olave as your number one and number two wide receivers. that's gonna be quite good. Always great on the defensive side of the ball. A bit of an anomaly last year, though. They were like second or third last overall in total takeaways. I think for the whole season, they only had like 14 takeaways defensively. So that has to change. Dennis Allen there, sort of still a bit of an unproven commodity as a head coach. Quarterback play. They've had salary cap issues for the last 3 or 4 years. Restructured deals, all of that sort of stuff to get them back under the cap. They did sign Cam Jordan to another 2-year extension. He just goes from strength to strength, and he's the linchpin of that defense. If Marshon Lattimore can stay healthy, because he was banged up all last year, missed a whole lot of games. He's one of the best. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the game. So I think I see an improvement on them defensively. And if solid quarterback play, Kamara comes back in week four. This could be a really for me. It'll be a nice team to watch.
Yeah, just on the Michael Thomas thing, they still show faith in him. They re-signed him to a 1-year, $10 million deal.
Restructured his pretty huge extension.
He's got two non-void years on his previous contract. So, they still show faith. Like you said, if he's healthy enough, that 1-2 punch is going to be very, very, very good. The last team is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They signed Baker Mayfield once Tom Brady basically all but decided he's definitely not playing anymore.
He is retired, right?
Well, supposedly. the thing is, you're not going to get a
apparently you can't be an active player if you have an ownership stake. So he's got an ownership stake in the Vegas Raiders. So
Raiders.
Realistically, he is done.
The thing is, he's not going to get a $35 million a year deal that he got with Fox with the NFL. So why would you go and smash your body when you can get $35 million just to freaking speak? But anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
This team will, by all accounts, obviously, a still okay team. I just don't think they'll make much noise because the quarterback situation is rather stinky.
Yeah, a little bit stinky. It's either Kyle Trask or Baker Mayfield. They are going to have serious problems.
I think it's going to be Baker. It won't be
Kyle Trask. No way. It'll be Baker Mayfield. That'll be the start of week one. They're going to have some serious issues unless Baker can get the ball out quick. They had some issues on the offensive line last year. Ryan Jensen missed most of the season. Their center, he's had some complications with that surgically repaired knee. So he looks like he's going to miss significant time again this year. So they're going to have troubles up front. Mike Evans seems like he's a little disgruntled at the moment. Wants a new deal. So, you know, is he shopping himself around?
Well,
I'm not sure.
I find that interesting. They shouldn't be disgruntled, that they don't want to re-sign him when, you know, he's in the last 8 years, he's always had a 1,000-year 1,000-yard year of every year. You see, he's so proven. Yes, all these wide receivers are getting big money, including the same age person as him, Davante Adams. He might be as good as Davante Adams, but he's, to me, serviceable enough where he should be getting money. I know you would want, I would want him on the Cowboys. I know you'd want him on the Saints. Imagine having him next to Olave. God damn.
Oh God.
That would be awesome. So
he's such a big physical presence. Like that's his, you know, that's his game. He's a physical wide receiver. He's like Michael Thomas, Michael Thomas at the peak of his powers. So fit, so physical, so hard to deal with. Didn't mind taking the hits. And he and Mike Evans is a big body.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think before we move on, I think we're both picking the Saints in this division.
Yeah. New Orleans. Well, yeah, it's their division. It's their division to lose. I think they've got a fairly easy schedule this year,
which
too.
Is not the greatest way to say that, to be honest. No. Because I don't, when you say the lose, that means you're still skeptical if they can win this division when you say it like that. But I think they run away with it. I don't see any of those other three teams coming close to them personally.
Oh, possibly not.
The next division will be the NFC West, and we will start with the Arizona Cardinals.
Woo! Talk about a stinky team.
How do you say it? Well, Kyler's on the IR. Let's get that out of the way. Kyler is definitely on the IR. He probably will come back possibly. They're saying mid-season. We'll see what happens. But they, without sort of hiding it, they embraced the tank and they kept moving. And it were, to be honest, they were really good in the draft. They kept moving down and just – getting picks,
their roster is just in total disarray. Their front office is in total disarray. You know that they dumped. Yeah, they got a new head coach. You know, in Jonathan Gannon. It's just that's something that the GM left. It's just. Oof.
Jonathan Gannon's kind of, he has these interesting little talks with the team. They're very peculiar. You'll have to YouTube it.
Strange. He's very, and very unmotivational.
They're a tanking team. What I find interesting is they're clearly on the rebuild. That's what they've decided with all the draft picks that they picked up in draft. Like they picked up, which could be back to bite. Not them, but the Texans, but the Cardinals will come into next year's draft with their pick, which should be high, and with the Texans pick, which probably possibly will be high. They probably have two top five picks, so I'll probably hold on to it because they'll need it.
And they're supposedly on the tank for Caleb Williams, but yeah, there could be a little bit of a, I think I was talking to you about it, could be a little bit of a snag in maybe acquiring Caleb Williams from USC in the draft next year. If what I've sort of heard on multiple radio stations and podcasts comes to fruition, which he's very disgruntled in the way the draft process works. His dad is exactly the same, and they think that they can possibly make more money in NIL deals before going to the NFL and sort of leveraging their way a la Eli Manning leveraging his way out of the San Diego Chargers and getting himself to the New York Giants all those years ago. Me personally, I think it's just buck up, son, and there's a reason why the league is the way that it is. You need parity. It's a salary cap driven sport. And it's just the way that it is. The worst team will get the highest pick and the best player. That's how you create
that
parity.
That's right.
He is not, by any stretch of the imagination, is not going to influence the draft process at all. He just sounds like a, you know, he sounds like a little whiny bitch. That's all.
No, look, I get it a little bit. If we look at what happened with Eli Manning, I get it a little bit. But even if you want to stay there another year, it does, like you brought up, it does not make a difference. Any of the top five teams will be the worst five teams,
yeah,
unless,
right,
they trade up on the draft, and he's going to have to go to one. What's interesting with this?
What does he think is going to happen? Like a team, you know, so Philadelphia or Kansas City or somewhere that is going to be at the bottom of the draft and trade all the way up just to get him? Like, give me a break.
Well, that's right. That's what interesting about this is if, let's say Arizona ends up number one, right? What do they do with Kyler? If they're clearly going after a quarterback, because it's clear they're going after another quarterback, what do they do with Kyler? Like, seriously, what do they do?
Not so much it's clear. Like, they could do what Chicago did and go, look, you know, in Kyler we trust. We get the if we acquire the number one pick and we trade it and we accrue more assets. Like, that's not out of the realms of possibility either.
But I don't see that with what they took off Houston. I see them rebuilding big time. They like you said, they've got a new GM, they've got a new coach.
They could leverage that high pick to trade down and still use Houston's pick, which could be a top five to take who they want anyway. We're talking way too much Cardinals football. Ugh.
I know. You're right. Because I just find it interesting.
But they are. Unfortunately, they're an interesting team to talk about.
Because they signed this big Kyler contract that they're sort of, if they don't move him on, that are stuck with. I think they go for a quarterback, the draft. I just would love to see where Kyler will end up.
Salary cap tied as well, because in the DeAndre Hopkins wavering, cutting, whatever you want to call it, they got a $22 million dead cap hit.
Correct.
So their salary cap tied from the get-go.
And that's another reason. And then if they move Kyler, they'll probably have to take some of that dead cap
that'll be more dead cap space.
So they have no choice but to take a quarterback anyway. So, yeah, we've spent too long, but they're interesting to see what they're going to happen. Only because by next offseason, we'll see what's happening with them. We don't really care about what's happening during the season. Anyway, yeah. The LA Rams who have at least 200 new faces in their squad, of what I read last read.
Oh, maybe 180, maybe 100, maybe not quite 200, but yeah, no, there's definitely quite a lot.
Except for Cam Akers, Aaron Donald, Matthew Stafford, and Cooper Kupp, I do not know most of the rest of the other team. Tyler Higbee. It's funny because even Matthew Stafford Matthew Stafford even come out and said he's finding it hard in preseason to gel with his team because
his wife revealed that he's having trouble connecting with the younger generation.
Yes, because it's you know, they're all new, they all do these different things. I mean, it's like us with the younger generation. It's the same thing for us. But obviously right. They're playing where they have to connect with them. He is it hard. So man, look, the thing is with them is they still don't have next year's pick, so they have no incentive to.
They mortgaged the future a couple of years ago,
and it worked. They got the Super Bowl. That's exactly what they wanted. It worked.
What would the GM say? F them picks.
That's exactly, and that's what they did. So they still have. So that was when did they win? So they won not last year, the year before. So this is the final year upcoming that they will, this is the last that they'll have not have the number one pick, and then after that it's fine. So they have another year of Missy, so they have no incentive to lose, so they might as well try and win, and I don't see it happening personally, not in this division.
I mean, I think that they win five games last year. I think they're better than a five win team. Look, there's talk swirling around Cooper Kupp missing at least week one, possibly more. Look, they had some of their key players miss quite a few games last year. Stafford missed 8 games last year. Kupp missed 8 games last year. Aaron Donald missed 6 games last year. So, you know, that core group of guys that are your best players were not on the field for more than a third, if not longer than of the season. So that's very telling on obviously how well they went. There was a lot of pressure on Sean McVay, all talks of BS that maybe he'll bail out and go into the TV booth and all that sort of stuff. He's back. So I think the Rams will be competitive again this year, but like you said, all they've got is incentive to win. So there's no incentive to tank or anything like that. So they got to try and win as many games as possible.
And the final team in this, sorry, they're not the final team. My bad. Sorry. Yeah, I missed one. My bad. The San Francisco 49ers. Man, that is my bad. shouldn't say that because they, at least for me, they're one of the top three teams in not just in obviously this division, but this entire NFC. They seem to, they're stacked defensively. They're stacked offensively. They're stacked anywhere, and it doesn't matter clearly who's at quarterback because the one little mistake that that team has made in the past few years, the one mistake that they've made is whiffing on Trey Lance, who's now at the Cowboys, which you didn't mention before.
That's a whiff. All right. That is one of the all time gaffes done by an organization.
Look, on the flip side, because they are so stacked, they took a quarterback in the 6th round of the year before, not this year's draft, but the year before, in Brock Purdy, who nearly got them to the Super Bowl.
He wasn't a 6th round pick. He was Mr. Irrelevant.
He was Mr. Irrelevant. Yeah.
He was Mr. Irrelevant.
Was that the 6th round? Is it 6th rounds or 7-year rounds? I can't ever remember.
Yeah, 7.
7. Okay, so he was Mr. Relevant. Okay, so 7th round pick. But he played well last year. All the counts, he's going to be their starting QB this year, even though they signed one Sam Darnold. It's just the Kyle Shanahan factor. Clearly, he's an unbelievable coach and with the stack side he already has, if he can get the quarterback to what he wants, it's fine. Like they are so stacked everywhere. Goddamn McCaffrey, Debo, Kittle, Ayuk, who had a really good season last year. Yep. And then their offensive line is very good. Their defensive team is probably the best, if not the best.
Their defensive massive. They've got the Nick Bosa contract all sorted, so he's done his deal. So it's like 122 guaranteed. Yeah, it's like 5 years, $170 million. So
the speed that dude has is insane. Jamal Hargrove too. They signed that was pretty good. That was a decent signing, defensive tackle. I don't mind him. But he's a specimen, all right. It's just funny. They're stacked. They should win pretty easily.
Oh yeah, this is their division to lose, and they'll be definitely fighting amongst the top teams of the NFC to get to the Super Bowl. I think they're a very accomplished squad. The only thing will be is like Purdy's had what seven starts. Will teams start to figure him out as the season goes on and there's a lot more planning for him? That's what I hear on podcasts and radio stations is going to be the planning. Yeah, every team is going to be planning for him now. He's not the unknown or anything anymore. They know he's going to be the starter. And can they sort of put him under any sort of pressure, or is that offensive line just too good and it's not really going to matter because you got the safety valve in CMC? And if you do have any troubles, the offensive line will protect. You got Christian McCaffrey. He stays healthy. there's you know, a lot of good offense coming out of there.
Plus, then you've got like ugly person Nick Bosa. I just had to say that in front of my wife because she thinks he's one of the best looking guys in the entire NFL. She goes, if NFL's like this, I watch it every week. So, yeah.
On the Niners bandwagon.
No, she's not on those Niners bandwagon. She's on the Bosa bandwagon.
On the Bosa bandwagon.
So the last team is the Seattle Seahawks, who shocked a few people last year and ended up getting a wild card spot. I think on the back of just Geno's really good season, he finally got his start like he's always wanted, and they repaid him by re-signing him for 3 years, $35 million. It was great. I think it was great.
That's them sort of repaying him by I guess sort of keeping them relevant, I guess, like after Russell Wilson leaving, you know, I guess that there was the fear that they would just sort of fade away a little bit, that they'll be a just an everyday run of the mill, you know, lower to bottom team. And there won't be much optimism there in the great white north. But look, that they have this year now, they'll have super elevated expectations, and I don't think teams will take them lightly at all this year. I think this year will be super telling for them. Can they maintain the rage? Can they keep this up? Pete Carroll's a good coach. They've got some good young running backs there. They still got Lockett, Metcalf. Like they've got who's the rookie they got there? Jigba. So I think he could come in and produce straight away and sort of take a little bit of focus away from Metcalf and Lockett, which will only free things up. So I think expectations will be quite high in Seattle, and whether or not they can keep it up and continue on from the, I think one of the shock teams of last year.
Don't sleep on their two linebackers they signed as well. One Devin Bush and one returning Bobby Wagner as well. So
that's right. Yeah.
So don't sleep. They're not 49ers stacked, but they're pretty good across the board. I don't think they'll win this division. I think the 49ers should win, but I see the Seahawks at least being another in one of those wild card spots, I think.
I think they'll be a thorn in this division's side. I think they'll be competitive again it's like San Francisco. Now that they've seen, I guess, the best of Geno Smith, I think that the planning that will go into trying to stop him will be a lot different. Same as Brock Purdy. So there'll be a lot of different things that teams will be planning for when they go up against, you know, and each team in this division will see each other twice. So there'll definitely be a different look on things when teams play Seattle. Can they make, was it Lumen Field? You know, one of the loudest stadiums in the NFL. Like it's like top five loud stadium. It's just unbelievable for opponents to go there. Silent counts, all of that sort of stuff. So, you know, they've got an extremely passionate fan base there, and they let you know about it.
I'm assuming you're the same as me and going 49ers' division.
49ers all the way.
So that is all the AFC who we did in the first part, and NFC divisions all going through for the season. We might as well go now, and who do you think will win the AFC? Not finish first, who do you think will win the AFC?
At the risk of sounding like uber boring, but it's Kansas City, right? Like I just
you kind of have to be, hey.
I mean, until you can go and you can go an outlier and go some, you know, you can Cincinnati take the next step. You know, they've already made a Super Bowl. Can somebody
could
come out of the, somebody
know,
come out of the blue? Can Buffalo step up and make a Super Bowl and win the AFC? Like there's a lot of upper echelon teams that are going to need a lot of things go their way, good health, and players in form is always handy as well. So I still think Kansas City, but you know, you could say Cincinnati, you could say Buffalo, you could say Miami.
Yeah, no, I think it's Kansas City. Until I'm not gonna say Mahomes falls off a cliff because that's not gonna happen anytime soon. But until Kelce falls off a cliff, unfortunately his age, he is on the downward slide. I think it's Kansas City. I'm not gonna say easily, but I think because it's a lot highly more competitive conference. But I think it's
what
Kansas
have they had? City's they've had four. What have they had? Four straight AFC Championship games at home.
Yes, they have. So the
road to success in the AFC goes through Arrowhead.
And the NFC.
Two teams for me, really. It's either Philly or 49ers. The only thing that I think that will bring the 49ers down is, I hate to say it, is Brock Purdy. That'll be the only thing that can derail the 49ers. So for me, I think that this absolutely could be a replay of last year's Super Bowl.
Cowboys aren't in that. Third team that could probably I think they're I think they're your clear three teams and then it's a cliff after that, to be honest. Clear top three teams.
I think
if they start off strong with Purdy and Purdy looks okay, I think just the 49ers, because that team is, and the Eagles are stacked too, don't get me wrong, but the Niners are just better suited personally.
All Purdy has to do is not lose them games. I think everything else will take care of itself. And if they get good quarterback play out of him, oof, man, the sky's the limit. If they get anything above competent quarterback play, man, they could be really good. They could steamroll a lot of teams if things go their way.
What's interesting with him is he's only played seven games, right? Or eight games.
Eight games, seven starts.
He hasn't had a lower for fantasy wise, he hasn't had a lower points than 17 on each game. So he has a consistency about him, even in that one loss. He has a decent consistency about him. Yeah. That could be just his offensive line, but it also just screen that he's fairly consistent enough, just what he needs to do, listen to Shanahan to win. So,
off that elbow injury that he had in the NFC Championship game, which basically made it, you know, a bit of a stink fest. For Philly to get through to the Super Bowl last year, that really sort of, you know, obviously derailed San Francisco right at the final hurdle of the season. All reports are that he's come back. He's not feeling any ill effects of that surgery. So it'll be a confidence thing, and I don't think there's too many coaches in the league that could give you more confidence than Shanahan. So
it's going to be if you think about it realistically, that it could be also a replay of the AFC Championship and the NFC Championship. It's that boring. Just thinking about it, it's that boring. It possibly
could
be.
But that's the thing. Like the season will always throw up, you know what I mean? It'll always throw up something different. You know, or we're going off. we're going off, you know, a season that hasn't even started yet. You know, we're going off expectations here. So, you know, there's all sorts of variables that go into a season, and we're just sort of going off, I guess, sort of last year's form and like, you know, like we're going through right now.
Correct.
Signings and things like that. So
we are going through last year's form, but we're also realistic to like that. That they all the four of those teams haven't really fallen off a cliff in terms of who they've lost or who they've gained. So
you don't foresee regression in those teams.
No, but it's funny your team. Just so you know, I looked at the schedule strength. Your team by far away, and it's not even close, has the easiest schedule in the entire NFL this year.
Yeah,
so
I know.
Your team could sneaky be a number one seeded team. Like if they win a lot of those games, it doesn't hurt. It doesn't mean they're gonna make noise, but they'd be a number one division side and have week one off, which would be crazy. They have a very easy schedule. God damn, their schedule is easy.
Apparently, I've seen it.
Them and the Lions. Both those two teams have a very easy schedule this year. That's why I said I went with head on schedule as well. But yeah, I definitely went with head on Eagles, just too strong. But anyway, that's the NFC.
All right, I'm quietly excited for this season. You know, we're in a couple of fantasy leagues as well. We just got through one of the longest drafts in human history. Of doing a draft for fantasy I'm in four paid ones,
let's just say that. Let's keep it at that.
Jesus.
Always makes it exciting, but when you're watching the games, obviously.
Oh yeah, it's one of the best inventions ever. It's just fantasy, you know, fantasy anything, like, you know, whether it's football, basketball, you know, fantasy NRL, you know, Supercoach NRL, like it's awesome. It just keeps you invested. When you're
just
not just
on that
to be
as well,
there's plenty of
ways you can watch the NFL this year. It seems to be beefier a bit this year, whether it be ESPN, if you have the ESPN. Also, 7Mate's pretty popular this year. They seem to take on a lot more games, which is great.
Are they doubling up on games, are they?
Yeah, so it looks like, I think if I last seen, I think they're doing four or six games this.
Oh, wow.
Three or four this year, yeah. So
they usually do like a full slate on the Sunday, so they'll have an early 1 p.m. and then like a 4:25 kickoff. I'm not sure if they're allowed to. I don't know if they broadcast the Sunday night game, like the primetime game, or whether that's just for ESPN.
No, but I think there's three or four on that Sunday/Monday for us, but. I think because of the way the season is, I think they get one of those Monday games as well. Because there's two Monday games for a few
weeks. Yeah, there's two Monday games week two. Yeah.
I think it's another week as well. It's weird.
I think there's a few. But see, they used to do it where you could do an East Coast kickoff and then a West Coast kickoff. But this one in week two, there's like an hour between kickoffs. I don't understand it.
No, I don't understand it either. If you really got some Benjamins, you could get the Dazan or DAZN or Dazan app, and that will give you every single game.
NFL pass?
Sort of, but it's the Australian version, and unfortunately, but as the NFL is, it costs you a pretty penny if you were going to get it. It's $70 a month, so.
That's
a lot of biggies.
Woo.
So it's not even 1080 HD picture quality. It's only 720. Mm. So I want to be racing and to get that. That's what I'm saying. There's plenty of other free options. And look, if you don't have Foxtel, KO's has all the games as well. So
Yeah, well, that's right. And I don't know if that's mean. I don't know if they allow you, like they do with Foxtel, to sign in through the ESPN app if you've got a KO subscription. There's only one way to do it, and that's try. So if you've got the ESPN app, then you go into the watch tab at the bottom of it, and then you can get Red Zone, and you can also get the games that are on NFL Network as well. So that's what this household does. So that's mean. I don't mind sort of having Red Zone on the laptop and then like an actual game on the TV and sort of going in that direction if I'm up early enough. So, but yeah, however you consume your NFL, there's plenty of options out there.
Well, that'll do it for this week's NFL podcast. If you want to run through all our shout outs.
So if you want to check us out, we are on Facebook. So just search the Final Play Podcast. You'll be able to get all of our pods on there, the links to that. So we have the Spotify link on there. That's also the SoundCloud link, so you can check us out on SoundCloud and Spotify. Just search the Final Play Podcast on those. We are on Twitter or whatever the hell it's called now, Twitter X. The handle is at Final Play Pod. So whatever the hell you want to call Twitter these days. So we're still on there. Check us out on all of those platforms. So we've got it everywhere. Also, you can get us on the Gimco Podcast Network. That's on Spotify. And you can check us out on the Gimco website as well. That's gimko.com.au. We're in the community page. So you click on that and podcasts will come up, and then you can download a podcast directly off the Gimco website. So check those guys out. They've opened up the store in Melbourne, which we talked about before, which is awesome. So they're going great guns down there. Still 19 spots at this current time in the football kickoff, the 2023 kickoff break. So it's $95 a pop. So get on that. Still half to go. I've got my spot. We're just waiting on to fill that so we can get that bad boy busted and ready to go. So check those guys out. But they do all sorts of card breaks, AFL. They're doing heaps of that at the moment. They do NRL. The NBA will be starting back up shortly, so they'll be doing a lot more of those again. They do cricket breaks, wrestling breaks, you name it. Check those guys out. They're also on Facebook. You can check out, you can search Gimco on Facebook, and you can also get on their Facebook page, which is Eureka Sports Cards. Those guys are big reasons for us kicking this on. So we'll always give them a bit of a plug. So apparently the store's going great guns. So congrats to those guys down there.
Well, that'll do it this week. My name's Jason. I can't wait for this NFL season.
How about them Cowboys? Really.
Look, if they start strong against the Giants, if they start strong against the Giants, it's not so much that they'll look good this year, but they'll be the most talked about side for about 15,000 weeks after.
They will be anyway. I think they're primed for another successful year. So that's the way that things are pointing. And we'll roll from there. I'm Miles. Go Saints, Plum. So hopefully we'll get out of that.
We might have two sides in the division playoffs this year. Who knows?
Well, possibly. There's always hope.
I think we're fine. I think we'll be fine this year, at the very least.
I think both of us will be having a happy season if all things go according to plan.
I will sneakily say I think Kamara will come back week 4 and blow a lot of people away just for a point to prove.
I think so.
I'm assuming you read where he got a new trainer because he was a bit sluggish. And they did all these huge tests, and he realized one leg weighed more than the other leg. And once they actually fixed that, he reckons he now feels the same like he did at the start. Not to say his rookie season, but 2 years in. That's how great he feels.
I've seen some of the training videos that he does, man. It's insane what he does. And look, I'm sure that I only do that because he's my favorite player in the league. So, that's the only reason I sort of watch all that sort of stuff. But some of the training videos that I've seen of him, man, they're out of this world.
He might come in shock if he's going to be on the waiver wires for everybody. I would sneakily probably put him on the week before because I think he's going to come out.
Surely he's not on waiver wires. Surely people have stashed him.
I'd be definitely stashing him.
Yeah. You'd be stashing him away. I think he's good. He's in for a bit of a mixed bag. I don't think his season was that great last year. So yeah,
that's like on his lofty expectation.
No, well that's right. It's still exactly. Great. So. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I don't want him to be on the path of Ezekiel Elliott where you peak in your rookie season and then you just have that slow decline for the next 5 years. And then all of a sudden you're a backup in New England.
All right, have a good week, everyone.
All right, enjoy your football, everybody. Week 1. Yeah. See ya.